This is a contemplation of dukkha, one of the three characteristics of our subjective reality. First characteristic is anicca, the transitory nature of subjective experience, the flow, constantly changing, awareness of what arises and passes away. And dukkha is characteristic of dissatisfaction, incompleteness, instability. It's caused by craving and clinging. Craving is a felt sense of urgency, and clinging is a mental preoccupation. And the third characteristic is anatta, the absence of an enduring, autonomous self. When reading about dukkha in the commentaries, it seems pretty dreary. Everything is dukkha. And that is certainly true. But it's not despairing and filled with misery, as one might believe. For this contemplation, just consider that dukkha is what you experience every time craving and clinging takes over the flow of experience in the mind. Every time the mind becomes preoccupied with a particular thought and the feeling that comes with it, pleasant or unpleasant, or perhaps even neutral, when that process is not being investigated with the support of mindfulness and the discipline of right effort, we experience dukkha. So, just settling into the breath, bringing your attention to the beginning of the in-breath, sustaining present moment investigation of the texture of the breath, the duration of the breath as you inhale, and doing that same procedure as you exhale, aiming at the beginning of the out-breath and maintaining an inquisitive awareness for the duration of the out-breath. Noticing the sensations that are most evident around the nostrils, inside on the nasal septum, or around the rim of the nostrils, or just outside the nostrils as the air moves across the upper lip. Of course, the mind wanders, particularly at the beginning of a meditation period. When that wandering occurs, if it's just simply noting a sound that occurs, or a sensation elsewhere in the body, or a stray thought, but the flow of experience continues, that's not dukkha. But when the attention is captured, enchanted by a distraction, a narrative develops, a commentary, preoccupation, that's dukkha. But even dukkha is impermanent. And this is a primary strategy for overcoming dukkha, for setting aside the five hindrances, which are primary examples of dukkha. Noticing as this preoccupation occurs, how sensations operate in that context. Changes in the breath sensation or the pattern of breathing, muscle tension, frowning, those physical manifestations of dukkha are changing. Investigate these sensations. Be curious about how they change. Not trying to be rid of them, just simply noticing them and then releasing into the next moment of noticing. Impermanence is also operating with the mental preoccupation, the enchantment of dukkha. Sometimes the enchantment is mild, doesn't take up much space in your realm of attention. Other times it seems very powerful, overwhelming, truly self-defining and world-defining. In any case, it's all transitory. It's all fabricated in the mind. And our task with this contemplation of dukkha is to be mindful of that transitory and fabricated nature. The internal commentary is ephemeral, dreamlike. See if you can notice that. It's changing. In the same way that your focus and processing changes when you read the page in a book. That same kind of change is occurring in the mind. Use breath awareness, body awareness, and the changes that occur in those realms as your primary point of reference, allowing the thoughts, preoccupations, fantasies, to be off to the side. When they seem to be central focus, bring attention back to the physical sensations in the body, in the breath. The more you can use breath sensations, body sensations, as a primary focus of attention, and keep releasing each time you breathe in and breathe out, opening, not clinging. The energy of the mental preoccupation, the clinging, diminishes. See if you can notice this. It might come back again in a cyclical way. But then it does go away. Noticing this transitory nature of the mind's fabrications allows us to see thoughts as impersonal, not a self, just a phenomena of nature that arises and passes away in subjective awareness. Use breath awareness as your refuge, primary focus point, and allow all the thoughts, expectations, beliefs, fears, desires, drift by. The opposite of dukkha is sukha. We which can be translated as happiness, or just a sense of satisfaction, basically okay. When you stay with the breath for several breaths in a row, see if you can notice that sense of satisfaction, of completeness with this moment of experience. Just noticing the changing nature of breathing in and breathing out. And then when dukkha returns, and it will, notice how your experience is different subjectively. Sometimes when the dukkha is strong, there's some sort of tension in the body. Muscles tighten up, posture becomes a bit more stiff. Even the breathing pattern might become more forced, more laborious. And also, the mind becomes enchanted, fixated by some sort of commentary. This can be the case whether the experience of dukkha is because there's something that you want, some kind of pleasant reverie, desire, fantasy, or some sort of unpleasant fixation, an internal argument, commentary, dispute, conflict in the mind. And then let go of that. Bring your attention back to the breath. Might have to do that several times, but the more you can be persistent and intentional and going back to the breath and investigating it, looking closely at the changing nature of sensation as you breathe in and out, the less convincing, the less vivid, the less potent the narrative is. And as that diminishes, satisfaction returns, sukha. Notice this. This noticing is cultivation of anicca, impermanence. Another way to understand dukkha is through investigating distress and confusion. Distress is an embodied experience of urgency, tension, almost like a magnetic experience, pulled toward pleasantness or pushing away from unpleasantness. The confusion is the turbulence, the demand, the conflict of some commentary, a narrative that accompanies this urgency. The more you can release the urgency through investigating the breath persistently and carefully, the more that urgency is reduced, the less potent, the less convincing the confusion is. This confusion is tempting. It may seem that if we think hard enough, if we repeat a particular thought process over and over and over again, somehow or other, we'll find peace. It's not been my experience. Rehearsing an aversive experience, or even a desire-bound experience, strengthens it, makes it more convincing, more self-defining. The way to let go of dukkha is to stop feeding it with attention, diminish the mind's attraction or repulsion regarding that experience. And going back to the quietness, the simplicity, the clarity of breath sensations. Sometimes the experience of dukkha is a disorganized trail of images, flashes of remembered experience. Not particularly emotionally potent, but just taking up space and time in your attention. This is a mild form of dukkha, an absence of clarity, of stability and focus. The experience of sukha always has this quality of certain kind of vitality, buoyancy of attention, relatively undisturbed by distractions. And this is accomplished through persistent attention to the changing nature of sensation as we breathe in and out. Notice where your attention is wandering. What's the characteristic of this particular moment of self-experience? Is there a feeling of urgency, desire, or aversion? What kind of preoccupation might be accompanying this? Then bring your attention back to the breath sensations. And be curious about how the body experience changes. The feeling of urgency diminishes. And the disruptive thoughts fade away. This fading away doesn't automatically occur immediately. But over time, the commentary loses its ability to convince, to fascinate. And the mind just loses interest. And it stops being evident. Going back to the breath, persistently, regardless of how strongly the call of dukkha is a primary antidote for distress and confusion. Just letting go back to the breath, patiently and persistently. As we develop enough proficiency and confidence in this process, our sitting practice becomes simpler and more available for the experience of sukha, a quiet, clear satisfaction. thank you for your practice. I wish you well.